Welcome back. In the studio, I'm Bob Seger with my greatest hits. Here's Redbeard.
Thanks, Bob. Seger, like Bruce Springsteen, John Fogerty, Tom Petty, and Jackson Browne, is a solitary composer as well as a powerful frontman. The live touring, always the purest form of democracy, still shares many aspects of that brotherhood. But the responsibility to create songs, write the hits, has always rested solely on Seger's shoulders. And the whole recording, touring, publishing, merchandising enterprise, and all those paychecks, and all those families who depend on them, floats on the tide of those songs that roll in from one and only one guy, Bob Seger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ensuing trilogy. I'll tell you one thing. Bruce Springsteen, who was a friend of mine and still is, and we were we used to talk in the whole mid-70s through the 80s. He used to say that he thought one of the things that really helped me was my relationship, you know, with my girlfriend Jan at the time. He thought that was really helpful to me. I was very grounded and very focused. And at that time, Bruce was very girl crazy. He was here to there, you know. that was probably part of it, you know. I was extremely grounded in that respect. The band, we were all pulling together. I think there is a time in everybody's life, in every performer's life, and in every successful performer's and creative person's life, when everything is very easy to do. It's still very hard, but it's easier. You're at a time, maturity wise, you're at a time, youth wise, where all that's important is that career, you know, and you're very focused on it. As you get older, you start to realize that there are other things that are important too. And I don't think you have, it's as easy to create on a spontaneous level. And I think at that point, between 75 and 80, was probably physically and emotionally the high point of my creative life, as far as having it be easy, if that makes any sense. Primarily because physically I was young enough, and mentally I was hungry enough to ride through those four albums. After that, I think some of the stuff is actually very, very interesting, I think, after 1980, and in a lot of ways, I like it better. I think it's deeper and richer, but it's also is more narrow. It's coming from a different place. It's coming from a person who has done it all, for lack of a better, you know, who's been to the mountain four times, and now he says, well, now I can kind of just do, I don't have to worry so much about the market, and I don't have to worry so much about this and that and that factor, and I can just kind of explore. And so for that reason, I like all the stuff, you know, from 74 on. I would say even Beautiful Loser, I think, stands up pretty well as an album too. And prior to that, there was an awful lot of playing and very little writing, you know, and it shows. And What I achieved in the mid 70s to the 80s was probably the zenith of physical and spiritual and emotional strength that I had in my career. It was just I was just full of power at that point. These days it's a little harder to get up to that level, because there's just so much more that is important, because I'm older and more mature. Throughout the 80s, I had the death of my mother. I had several relationships break up that were rather distracting. I had I tried different producers. I tried being produced by Jimmy Iovine. Deferred a lot of the stuff to him. Wanted, you know, just trying different things. The Like a Rock album was One of those albums. I love the stuff on it, but I worked way too long on it. It has a tremendous polish, but it might have been kind of almost overdone in the studio. I almost had too much time on my hands, and you just keep learning by doing, you know, as you go along. And I think I'm kind of back to that era of the 70s in a way now. I didn't write on the road. That's the simple answer to that question. No, I never could. The road was such a it's almost like being in the NBA. It's a physical thing. You can do a shoot around or something like that, but basically you've got to stay focused on the game, and all your mental energy goes to the performance on stage when you're in a rock and roll band. And so I would spend my days doing sound checks, traveling, doing set lists, talking to the guys in the band, playing tapes back with the guys in the band, and everything was really focused on the tours, as it is to this day. That's the way we are. I have never written on the road. I wrote a few things on the road. Turn the Page is one of the rare exceptions that I wrote on the road. I wrote that song on the road. But basically, I never could write on the road because you need these huge chunks of private time when you're a solo writer to write. And there's just no getting around that. And you just don't have that on the road. I know I've written stuff on the road today, and I've never hardly ever used it. Primarily because I think it takes several hours, if not several days, to just reach a disciplined mental place where you can be so free in your thinking and your performing that you start to transcend and go into kind of a zone. I know this sounds very mystical and opaque, but you get into a zone where you really free up and you start creating. It's something you can't do when you're actually doing a job. Being on the road is like being in the army. Everybody's marching together and trying to slog through the mud, as it were. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people out there, and everybody's asking you questions, and you're making decisions all day long, and you're judging the buildings, and you're judging the crowd, and you're making decisions right when you're on stage, changing the set, whatever, to try to keep things fresh. That is the ultimate goal of being on the road: keeping things fresh. And you've got a certain amount of songs you've got to play to, because the audience really wants to hear them and you don't want to let them down. But on the other hand, the more difficult thing is keeping it fresh, moving it around, extending certain songs, extending the solos of other songs, starting them in different ways, ending them in different ways, running them together, putting them in different orders. Everything creates a different forum when you're on stage, and keeping it fresh is probably the biggest challenge. We would always change at least one song a week. We'd work something up at the sound check we'd never played before and play it on the road, you know. And what it does is it makes everybody focus on that and not focus so much on things that they've done by rote. And it makes the by rote stuff not seem by rote because, you know, you got something coming up that you got to remember. And actually, by taking, it's like looking at a double star up in the sky. If you look at it with binoculars, you can see it's a double star. If you don't, it's just a single star. I'm an astronomy freak, as you know. It's sort of looking away sometimes, like the seven sisters, the Pleiades. You look away, you can see all seven of them. You look right at them, you can't. So the diversions are really the tricky part. You try to divert people enough so that everything stays fresh. And to try and write in an atmosphere like that, that's what Tina Turner used to tell me. She says, being on the road is like being in the army. And to write like that in a situation like that is exactly the opposite of what you want. When you're writing, you're going deep into your own psyche or deep into the psyche of a character or trying to say something totally unique, and it takes tremendous concentration and discipline to stay focused on that aspect of creativity. It's a totally different thing.
No matter what you think you pulled, you'll find it's not enough. No matter who you think you know, you won't get through. It's a given LA law, someone's faster on the draw. No matter where you hide, I'm coming after you. Yep. No matter how the race is run, it always ends the same. Another room without a view, a way
passion for the top. This is a place where second best will never do. It's okay to want you shine, but once you step across that line, no matter where you hide, I'm coming after you. Shake down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowd alive. Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down, you busted, busted. Shake down, break down, hurry. Just about the time you think it's alright. Break down, take down, you busted. Shake down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line.
In 1987 as the theme to the movie Beverly Hills Cop 2. It's making its first appearance on a Bob Seger album, now on Greatest Hits 2. But Seger's music certainly is no stranger in the town of Hollywood, claiming as he did even then to have had songs in 35 films.